Father God, we just come before you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this precious time we have, Lord God, where we can come together as one body, Lord God, seeking your truth, Lord God, and declaring your truth. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord God, here as a community, Lord. Speak to us, Lord God. Minister to us, Lord God. Bring us to that place, Lord God, where we become so hungry for you, Lord God, where we become so fired up for you, Lord God, that everything within us, Lord God, we want to praise you. Everything within us, Lord God, we want to, Lord God, get more and more closer to you, Lord. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, as we open your word, Lord God, and as we learn your word together, Lord God. Father, use my life, Lord God. Speak through me, Lord, I pray, Lord God. Let every single word, Lord God, that flows from my mouth today, Lord God, let it be of you, Father. So, Father, we commit this time into your hands, O God. Lord, minister to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And this is what it says in NIV version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. Everyone say perseverance. The race marked out for us. This race is marked out for us as body of Christ, as community of Jesus Christ. Marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of faith. Before we read this passage in this chapter, the Hebrews 11 talks about different heroes of faith, and it says faith in action. When we believe, we act, don't we? And it's so fundamental to our faith that when we believe that Jesus Christ can change our lives, Jesus Christ can bring about a difference in our lives, we step out in faith and we run with everything within us for Jesus, don't we? And that kind of shows us that our faith plays a bigger part in everything that we do. And the author is actually encouraging the believers in this chapter, saying, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are these cloud of witnesses? And all of their names are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. And it goes on saying, by faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. So that shows that it was all an act of faith. He did not see, they did not know what was going to happen, but they knew that God had called them. Amen. We looked at it last week, the story of David. David did not know what was going to happen, but what did he do the first thing? He remembered the promises of the one who called him. Amen. What was the second thing that David did? He served where he was planted. Amen. And what was the third thing that David did? He was focused. And although there was lots of distractions around his way, he stayed focused. Alright, those three things. David remembered that he was called. Second thing, David served where he was planted. Third thing, David was focused in his calling. And the calling, he did not chase after the calling. The calling of God chased after him. So in this chapter, we read that therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We've just read all these people who were great cloud of witnesses and who are great cloud of witnesses. And he goes on to say, therefore let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In ESV version, it says, let us throw aside every weight. Let us throw aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That is crazy. The scripture says sin is always crouching at your door, waiting for you. Waiting for that opportunity to attack you. Sin is always holding on to you so closely and clinging onto you so closely that it's waiting for that right opportunity to pull you down onto the floor. Because sin wants you down, because the enemy wants you down. The Word of God says, the thief has come to kill, steal and destroy. So Jesus came to give us life. And if we have that life today, Jesus wants us to go out there and proclaim this same message of life to others in the community. Amen. To our neighbors, to our friends, to our families. So whatever mess you have faced in the past, Jesus wants to turn it into a message. What does it mean to throw off? To free oneself from. To get rid of. To cast off in a vigorous way. To grab it and cast it off in a vigorous way. That's what it means to throw off. There are many hindrances, right? That should have blocked our passage to freedom, and that blocks our passage to what God has got for us. And there are many, but I want to talk about one thing today. And it is worry. One of the hindrances that blocks our passage to freedom is worry. Two things worry does to our lives. And first thing is this. Worry disturbs. Daniel, what do you mean by worry disturbs? Worry disturbs our peace. Worry disturbs our joy. Worry tortures us. So much so, right? We're constantly thinking about the things that are never going to happen. The worry cripples us on the inside, that we hold back from doing certain things because we are so worried. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Charles Spurgeon said that. And I want to change the word anxiety, and I want to put the word worry in there. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles, but only empties today of its joy. Winston Churchill said this: when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life. Who's going through a lot of trouble in their lives? Winston Churchill said this. He remembers the story of an old man who was on his deathbed, and he said he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. So many times, right, the enemy brings worries in our lives because he wants to distract us. He wants to disturb us. So much so he wants us to sit where we are and not move any further. The enemy wants us down. We need to know this. The enemy wants us down. The words of Jesus. Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Did you know that? The more we worry, the more we lose our life. Every time we worry, the hours, we're losing hours, minutes, seconds, days, weeks. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this little, very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? The words of Jesus, why do you worry about the rest? So the first thing I said was this: worry disturbs your peace. Worry disturbs your peace. Worry robs you of your joy. Second thing worry does is this: worry distorts your vision. Worry distorts your vision. There is a great difference between worry and concern. A worried person sees a problem, a concerned problem solves the problem. So what worry does is worry always shows you your problem, but does not show you a solution. But the Word of God always shows you a solution. Amen? Because the Word of God wants to solve our problem. God wants to solve our problem, but most of the time we don't let God solve our problem because we want to be in charge of our problems. We want to be in charge of everything that we do, and we block God away. Even though we declare with our mouth, even though we read His Word, we don't let God do that work that He wants to do in our lives. But God wants to clear our vision. Our visions can be distorted with a lot of worrying that we do. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Let me say that again. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do. You're always rocking back and forth, but you're not getting anywhere. You're just pacing back and forth. I'm worrying. But it's not getting you anywhere. And in the story of Martha and Mary, what we see is Jesus is in Martha's and Mary's house. And Jesus is there. And disciples are there with Jesus. And they're having a fantastic time. And Martha's pacing back and forth. She's worrying about, oh, what we can do, this and that. And don't get me wrong, Martha's doing the right thing. Because guests are in the house. You need to prepare something for the guests, don't you? But at the same time, when Jesus was sharing, right, Jesus wanted everyone to sit down and listen to him. Before even we work for Jesus, Jesus wants to sit down and ask us, how are you? What's really happening in your life? So many times that's how we do church these days. In and out, we're done. Nobody really knows what's happening. Hello, good to see you. Nice, see you later. But Jesus is asking us today, how are you? How are you spiritually? How are you emotionally? How are you mentally? How are you physically? Worry distorts our vision. Worry distorts our vision. We always see the problem, but we don't see the solution. We're always bombarded with this thing. What if it's not going to work out? I've tried it before. What if I fail again? I've tried to build this bridge with my family in the past. What if it's not going to work again? What if? So what can I do to your worry? What can you do to your worry? First thing is this. The Word of God teaches us, take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Amen? To make it obedient to Christ. The biggest challenge for each and every one of us, I believe, is to actually control the thoughts. Control the things that goes in our minds. Because this is a battlefield. This is a battlefield. And when we spend too much time on our own, the thoughts begin to wage war in our minds. So much so, right? All of a sudden, now we're thinking about things that are never going to happen. Now we're thinking about things that never happened. Now we're thinking about the things people might have said which they never said. So we're constantly battling in our minds. And that's where the Word of God is very straight there. Don't let your thoughts determine your experience today. Don't let what's happening in your mind ruin what's happening in your heart. Amen. Let me repeat that again. Don't let what's happening in your mind ruin what's happening in your heart. Sorrows looks back. Worries looks around. Faith looks up. Let me say that again. Sorrow looks back. You look back. Man. Worry looks around. It never worked out in the past. It's never going to work today. But what faith will make you do is, faith will make you look up. God, I'm worried about all these things, but you can do it. Amen. You can do it. Don't let your thoughts rule over your life. Let the Word of God rule over you and your thoughts. So first thing is this, what do you do with your worries? You take every thought captive. Number two, you take it to prayer. You take it to prayer. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. God wants us to learn from him. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. There is a solution. You will find rest. You might be going through some troublesome time right now, but you will find rest. This is the encouragement of the Word of God to each and every one of us today. You might be looking around at circumstances. You might have a lot of worries. You might have a lot of things that you're worried about. But the Word of God is saying to us that you will find rest for your souls. If you are restless this afternoon, God wants to give you rest. If you are burdened this afternoon, The Word of God says, "For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The more you pray, the less you'll panic. The more you worship, the less you worry. You'll feel more patient and less pressured. Number two, take it to the prayer. Number three, don't act. Right? Our tendency when we're worried is we like to act straight away. But the Word of God teaches us to be still. To be still. You're worried about many things, Martha. But come on, be still. Do what Mary's doing. Be still. And let me minister to you. Don't act. Why? Because it says in the Word of God, He never forsakes. He never forsakes. It says in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous." Let me say that again. Be strong and courageous. Alright? Put your name before that. Daniel, be strong and courageous. Lisa, be strong and courageous. Joan, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. What are them? Your worries. The things that comes against you. Because of them. Don't be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. Amen. You are not alone. You need to remember that. You might be going through some tough time right now. You might be going through some storms, but you are not alone. For the Lord goes with you. He goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So we wait because He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. And why do we wait? Because He is faithful and forgiving. If we confess, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 4 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Lord has forgiven each and every one of us. Now He wants to purify us. He wants to purify us from all unrighteousness. And the purification process is a painful process. They both start with the letter P. Purify is painful. Purification is painful. But God wants to purify us. It's like refining process. God wants to refine each and every one of us. God has saved us, yes. But at the same time, God knows what's really happening in there. And God wants to purify that. And most of the time we act because someone touches that spot. Oh, man, I'm not coming to church anymore. We act. But God said, hey, don't act. Wait patiently. Don't act. And you worship God. It's all great. It's all amazing. It's all amazing. You hear the Word of God. The Word of God challenges you. Oh, man. Poof. You know? But God's like, hey, I want to purify you. We sing songs, don't we? Lord, purify me. Lord, refine me. But when God does refining, whoa, God, now take your hands off me. Take your hands off me. But God wants to purify us. God wants to purify us. And when we fall, God is a forgiving God. We need to know that. We need to believe that. The Word of God says He is faithful. He is forgiving. And why wait? Because He holds our future. He holds our future. Right now we start in this church, we look around, we're thinking, hold on, what is Lord, what's really happening? And God said, don't look around, look inside of you. Can you not see what I'm doing? Can you not see what I'm doing? The Word of God says, I'm doing a new thing. It says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you." Plans to prosper you. Those four things I shared earlier on. He wants to prosper you emotionally. He wants to prosper you mentally. And He wants to prosper you spiritually. And He also wants to prosper you physically in terms of your health. God is a healer. God can heal. We need to believe that. Don't rush and settle for the less. Wait and settle for the best. We need to learn to wait and settle for the best. Because the Word of God says in Psalm 46 verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God."